Hello, Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. This is the beginning of Hour 2 in what is a three-hour show today. We started at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. It's now 8 a.m., and we will be discussing a series of news items today up to 10 a.m. And I tell you, as you look at this whole situation going on in the world, it's very apparent that when you look at corporate news media, that try as they might to conceal the truth from you and from me, there are certain things that come to the fore if you watch it every day, which underscore that what we've been saying at the Republic Broadcasting Network on a whole series of issues is absolutely true. Looking at the Wall Street Journal today, by the way, they are talking about the $2.9 trillion plan. Budget plan of George W. Bush, higher spending, lower taxes, and the end to deficits. Figure that one out, folks. $2.9 trillion in federal spending, and the Wall Street Journal says that Mr. Bush's budget sees higher spending, lower taxes, and the end to deficits. Tell me how in the world that's possible. Clearly, it's not possible. It's absolutely absurd. Suffice it to say that if you get into the Wall Street Journal of these last couple of days and look at the things that it is saying in regard to this budget, two things are absolutely crystal clear. One is that the military costs of this war in Iraq and Afghanistan are ballooning absolutely out of control. Depending on whose figures you believe, we're spending somewhere between $8 and $9 billion a month on this operation. Getting back to what Paul Wolfowitz, who is now the president of the World Bank, was saying 3.5 years ago, almost 4 years ago now, just before the start of the war, 4 years ago now, Wolfowitz was one of the key Bush administration Defense Department consultants and analysts who was saying that this war in Iraq could be prosecuted, won, and successfully wrapped up for $50 billion. We're now honing in on $500 billion already. That's half a trillion dollars. That is 10 times what Paul Wolfowitz said at the time that it would cost, 10 times as much, and it's not over. Month by month, we're racking up $8 to $9 billion a month in this thing in Iraq and Afghanistan. What is this war with Iran going to cost? Let's just assume that it happens. I think it's bad public policy. I think it's disastrous foreign policy. I think the blowback from this particular operation is just going to be beyond belief. As I've mentioned before on this show, the reaction in the Islamic world from Somalia to Indonesia is going to be absolutely cataclysmic if the United States and or Israel should attack Iran at some point. The Iranian government itself, the so-called Islamic Republic in Iran regime, these guys in Tehran, many believe, are having some pretty significant problems with their own population related to student dissident groups who feel there's too much repression in that country. There are a lot of questions about the Iranian economy. Some of the people associated with the hardline regime, like Ali Hashemi Akbar Rafsanjani, are apparently unhappy with Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. So there's a lot of twisting and turning and internal debate, it seems to me, in Iran itself in regard to the direction that that country should go in. All of that suggests that not all is well with the current regime in terms of Iranian domestic opinion. But what happens if the United States and or Israel attack Iran? What will change that picture? This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Learn about the new discoveries of MSP Research. Find out about the success MDs, dentists, veterinarians, and others are having with Silver 500. Learn secrets to survival, how to detox the liver, gallbladder, and kidneys, and how over 1,100 doctors are treating Lyme disease, hepatitis C, diabetes, respiratory infections, and many more with success thanks to the help of MSP Research and Silver 500. Microbiologists have tested our mild silver protein and found Silver 500 to be the most effective treatment for B. subtilis, a subgroup of anthrax. Choose the products in your medical supply wisely. Our doctor's manual has grown to over 600 pages. Give us a call at 1-334-493-0420. That's 1-334-493-0420. And see why doctors in five countries use a dozen products that are manufactured by Dr. Bill McFarland. One more time, that's 1-334-493-0420. Or visit our website at www.mildsilverprotein.com/home.html.
Still there? We're back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been examining a series of news stories today, including the broadcast interview source release out of Washington, D.C., talking about Mark Dankoff's America and the Republic Broadcasting Network, and the fact that we have picked up a new affiliate, and that affiliate is Memphis, Tennessee, 50,000-watt station WMQM-AM, which is found at 1600 on the dial in the greater Memphis area. Welcome to this show. Welcome to this network. We hope for many, many good things and partnership in the days to come. We've been speaking as well on the show this morning about all kinds of news stories, both those in the non-corporate press as well as those in corporate media. Shortly, I want to get back to Robert Souganis's article for Catholics Apologetics International, talking about neoconservatives and the Jewish connection. But I want to go back just for a moment to the Wall Street Journal, a couple of items here. This notion that Mr. Bush can have a $2.9 trillion plan, a budget plan that has higher spending, lower taxes, and the end of deficits. This is absolutely ludicrous, of course, and nonetheless begs the question from an American first constitutional perspective, what kinds of things are given to the federal government in regard to the enumerated powers of the Constitution? In other words, constitutionally, what can the federal government be involved with, and what does the 10th Amendment to the United States Constitution say that the federal government cannot be involved with, that is either reserved specifically for the states or for the people? If you take that kind of an enumerated powers yardstick to this budget, you'll begin to see very quickly, I think, how ludicrous it is that we talk about Republicans and Democrats. Here we have a Republican president talking about almost $3 trillion, almost $3 trillion in federal spending. And these deficits, of course, are supposed to go down with higher spending and fewer taxes. Figure that one out. But at any respect, we're talking about $3 trillion in federal spending. All of the things that the federal government is routinely doing since the time of Franklin Delano Roosevelt and the New Deal have been transpiring under both Democratic and Republican presidents. And here we have all of these so-called conservatives in the United States supporting a Republican president who wants to spend $3 trillion in a federal budget. And when you start looking not only at that, but the fact that under George Bush, we have lost 3 million more manufacturing jobs in the United States, we have the largest foreign trade and budget deficits in our history. We are seeing the U.S. moving full-blown into a world government. The latest evidence of that is the building block. We've had NAFTA, we've had GATT, we've had the World Trade Organization, we've had most favored nation trading status for communist China, among other things. We've had the Free Trade Agreement of the Americas. Now comes something that has been going on since March of 2005 with George Bush and with Vicente Fox, the then president of Mexico, and the prime minister of Canada. If you go back to March of 2005, you'll see the beginning of what is now being referred to as the Security and Prosperity Partnership Arrangement for North America and the creation of a so-called North American Union. What is this? This so-called happy free trade zone is going to end the United States as the nation state that we currently know it as being. There will be open borders. You will suddenly discover that the UN will, that the United States will be a part of a seamless garment that includes all of North America, that Canada and the U.S. and Mexico will be just one seamless garment where laws that pertain to those three specific countries passed by their own legislatures will become progressively less important than the management of that entire area by globalist entities, leading, of course, in this building block concept to just one more move toward a full-blown world government. The Security and Prosperity Partnership Arrangement for North America, according to my old friend Howard Phillips of the Conservative Caucus, is just another step in this process. The American dollar will eventually be replaced by a new currency that will govern this North American Union. You will have the loss of definition of traditional borders between this country and Canada and this country and Mexico. You'll have a situation where we will be, in North America, the equivalent of the European Union. And all of those larger blocks and larger trade entities, again, are just a further stepping stone toward world government. All of this is going on under a Republican president. All of this has been going on in the last 6 years under a Republican Congress until they surrendered control of that Congress this past month. The point being that if we're talking about Republicans spending $3 trillion, Republicans signing off on entities of world government, Republicans signing off on trade deals that favor a corporate globalist elite and that destroy the manufacturing sector of our own economy, if Republicans are supporting a tax and tax, spend and spend, borrow and borrow policy, when it comes to a war in Central Asia and the Middle East that we should never have been involved with to begin with. What, practically speaking, is the difference between the Republican Party and the Democratic Party? There's absolutely no difference. In both cases, we are talking about a full-blown drive toward world government. We're talking about trillions of dollars in spending, trillions of dollars in borrowing, chiefly from Asian banks and from other international bankers. We're talking about the expansion of our interventionist foreign policy in the Middle East to a breaking point when it comes not simply to our economic strength and our military capabilities, but also our political credibility, both in that part of the world as well as domestically. The point is that the empire is getting extremely shaky. The old republic is dead. The empire is getting extremely shaky. And when you begin to analyze all of this in terms of the imperial overreach of our military and foreign policy, the massive amount of public spending and public debt and public borrowing that's going on, when you look at the fact that we have all kinds of people in the United States now that do not share any of the traditions and history and commitment to our Constitution that our citizens used to have, when we start looking at cultural decadence and spiritual decadence of every conceivable description that has enshrouded our culture in these last 40 or 50 years in particular, and that seems to exponentially get worse almost by the hour, we are beginning to look more and more, folks, like Imperial Rome. This is the precise fashion, the precise pattern that led to the demise of the Roman Empire. And when you look at other great empires in world history, it seems to me that the book of Daniel in the Old Testament is instructive. Take a look at Nebuchadnezzar's dream in chapter 2 or Daniel's vision in Daniel chapter 7 and the implications for the four empires that are mentioned there: the Babylonian, the Medo-Persian, the Greek, and the Roman. And when you look at that analysis as you find it in the Old Testament in those chapters in the book of Daniel, or you look at a secular analysis of the rise and fall of empires as you'd find it with the books of Will and Ariel Durant on civilization, when you look at the more recent examples of the British Empire and the former Soviet Union, there are plenty of things that you can identify that occur with the rise and fall of all world empires. And as Kevin Phillips has pointed out in his book, American Theocracy, which I have reviewed at markdankoff.com, we will see that there is one dangerous presupposition that continues to impact our president. It continues to impact our Congress and our news media. It continues to impact the lives of most of the people of our nation. And that is the doctrine of exceptionalism. The notion, the absurd notion, the false notion, the dangerous notion, that the United States of America is the exception to the rule, that all of the rules and axioms that govern the rise and fall of empires are things that do not affect us, that we are somehow different from the Babylonians, we are somehow different from the Medo-Persians, we are somehow different from Alexander the Great and the Greeks, we're somehow different from the Romans, we're different from the British and Soviet Union of the 20th century, that somehow the United States can do the same things, make all of the same mistakes, extend the empire abroad to an unsustainable point, spend billions of dollars that we don't have, borrow from central international banks, engage in every form of cultural and spiritual decadence domestically, and not fall as an entity. That doctrine of exceptionalism, which Kevin Phillips talks about at great length in American Theocracy, is a simply dangerous and a simply absurd notion. And once you accept that doctrine of exceptionalism, then it leads to the kind of passivity that I potentially see and do see with the American population. I suspect that there isn't one person in 100, either in the state of Texas or around the country, who reads and thinks about the kinds of things that you and I read about and think about at the Republic Broadcasting Network. That makes all the more important a look at Friday's show and some of the topics that are going to be discussed on this show on Friday by Shireen Nashat of Sarbazon and Chalmers Johnson When we come back, I'll take a little bit more of a look at that and also discuss some other items of interest in corporate and non-corporate media today. Stay tuned.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available. Until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's windowgenie, spelled J-E-A-N-N-I-E.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Back. This is Mark Dancos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been discussing a number of news items today, both in corporate as well as in non-corporate media. And one of the things we've been talking about is the fact that the broadcast interview source of Washington, D.C. has a news story out today on Mark Dancos America on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And the fact that we have a new affiliate, and we greet WMQM of Memphis, Tennessee, 50,000-watt station that can be found at 1600 a.m. on the dial for those in the greater Memphis area. We hope that that's a great partnership in the days ahead as we begin to cover some of the things that are not covered by corporate media in regard to this coming war with Iran, the continued influence of the Israeli lobby in the American domestic political scene, the neoconservative foreign policy that continues to go on, that has not changed hands or changed directions in any sense of the word since the first Tuesday in November. And quite obviously, there are a number of people in non-corporate media. Eric Margolis and John Pascal Utley come to mind, just to name two, who are warning us that the direction is continuing towards some sort of an interventionist policy with Iran that will lead to a complete disaster. You know, I was saying before one of the commercial breaks that there are all kinds of implications to this that are monstrous as we begin to list them. One is the blowback that will occur in the Islamic world from Somalia to Indonesia if the United States does attack Iran. Secondarily, there's been a lot of talk in Pat Buchanan's The American Conservative and elsewhere about alleged plans on the part of the national security establishment to utilize tactical nuclear weapons in Iran against 12 to 20 of these so-called nuclear power sites. No one seems to be talking too much about the dangers of radiation or just how many civilians this would kill if this policy was employed, or what it might mean, again, for the whole shift that we have seen in recent years on the part of the Bush administration away from the traditional American policy of deterrence and toward a so-called preemption, a preemptive war by a nuclear state against a non-nuclear one in conjunction with an ally, Israel, that is the chief nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons power in the Middle East. That seems to be a very schizophrenic policy and one that will have all kinds of tragic implications, it seems to me, both for Iran and the United States and for the entire world. But one thing that we did touch upon in an earlier point on this show is the whole issue of the Islamic Republic in the Iran regime. Now, I am not an expert on Iran, although I have lived there. If you were to go back 30-some-odd years in my own personal biography, when I was in college in the Chicago area, my father was a chief logistical director for the Shah's Imperial Iranian Air Force under the auspices of the Lockheed Corporation. That was subsequent to my dad retiring from the Air Force, where he had been the Air Force Logistics Command's chief liaison in Southeast Asia during the Vietnam conflict, where my dad was running the logistical end of the air war over North Vietnam. But suffice it to say, between 1973 and 1978, I had an opportunity to visit Iran on numerous occasions when my parents were stationed there. I did not learn the Persian language because I didn't have time to. I was in college in those days doing other things. Except for a few cab driver directions, I do not speak Farsi. But I have a lot of Iranian friends worldwide, some of whom are in this country. And they span the political spectrum in terms of the Iranian political spectrum. And the one thing that is absolutely striking to me as I receive notes from some of these folks via email and as we talk on the telephone from time to time, and that is that when you're looking at the Iranian political spectrum from left to right, whether you're talking about those who unfortunately have Marxist leanings on the left, those who are involved in, say, the secular national front movement that was characterized by Mohammad Mossadegh back in the 50s, or those who are monarchists, which includes my friend Shireen Nashat at Sarbazan, the fact of the matter is that across that spectrum, virtually every Iranian that I talk to is opposed to the idea that the United States should attack Iran. Now, at one level, that's rather predictable in that no one wants to see a war take place, particularly when your own sons and daughters and mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters might be underneath those bombs. But the other thing is that those who oppose the current regime in Iran, who oppose Islamic fundamentalist theocracy as an appropriate ideology for an Iranian government, these individuals universally tell me, I think it's safe to say universally tell me, that an American and or British and or Israeli attack in Iran would simply produce a backlash on the part of the American or on the part of the Iranian people that would solidify support for a regime that shows evidence of having problems. In other words, if the United States does not like the present regime in Iran, there are apparently quite a number of people in Iran who don't care for the regime either. I think it's noteworthy that in that country you have approximately 70 million people, over half of whom are under the age of 30, who don't remember the Shah, and who have problems with that present regime. But what will their response be if the United States attacks that country? We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Learn about the new discoveries of MSP Research. Find out about the success MDs, dentists, veterinarians, and others are having with Silver 500. Learn secrets to survival, how to detox the liver, gallbladder, and kidneys, and how over 1,100 doctors are treating Lyme disease, hepatitis C, diabetes, respiratory infections, and many more with success thanks to the help of MSP Research and Silver 500. Microbiologists have tested our mild silver protein and found Silver 500 to be the most effective treatment for B. subtilis, a subgroup of anthrax. Choose the products in your medical supply wisely. Our doctor's manual has grown to over 600 pages. Give us a call at 1-334-493-0420. That's 1-334-493-0420. And see why doctors in five countries use a dozen products that are manufactured by Dr. Bill McFarland. One more time, that's 1-334-493-0420. Or visit our website at www.mildsilverprotein.com/home.html.
Obviously, something serious is going on, politically, economically, geologically, and environmentally. And how you prepare for those changes will determine your well-being in the very near future. Now, whether you're preparing for your family, your business, or your country, the Survival Center has the knowledge and experience to assist you in those decisions. Survival Center is America's premier supplier of family preparedness, health, and survival supplies with over 33 years of continuous operation. Now, you can start preparing with just knowledge, and that's why the Survival Center is offering a book. It's called Basic Preparedness, and it's just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And it'll teach you about the four basics of survival: food, water, medical, and shelter. And when you order that book, you'll also get a free Survival Center catalog. Contact us today so we can help you prepare for whatever comes your way. Call us toll-free at 1-800-321-2900 or online at www.survivalcenter.com.
Back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. In accordance with the news release that a broadcast interview source of Washington, D.C. has done this morning on both Mark Dankos, America, and the Republic Broadcasting Network, we greet Memphis affiliate WMQM AM 1600 AM. We're glad that they're on board with Mark Dankos, America, and the Republic Broadcasting Network. And we look forward to having new listeners in the wider range of that station who will be coming to us, we trust, in the days ahead. We've been talking about a series of news stories then this morning, both in corporate media as well as in non-corporate media, Suffice it to say that as far as this whole issue of attacking Iran is concerned, I was mentioning earlier on the broadcast that off and on I lived in that country for a number of summers back in the 1970s. My dad was an advisor to the Shah's Imperial Iranian Air Force. He was a logistics director. This was after my dad's retirement from the American Air Force and the end of America's involvement in Southeast Asia. And it was an interesting time for me because I have found myself in all the years since then doing a lot of reading about Iranian history and the Iranian political scene, past, present, and future. I would like to learn some Persian. I didn't learn very much in those days because I was just over there for a series of summers in between college years and didn't feel like spending summer times doing any more studying. But I'd like to learn some additional Persian and find myself reading more about that country, particularly since it's such a focal point in all the controversy, and I would argue impending tragedy that seems to be just around the corner. But as I was saying before the commercial break, when you look at the Islamic Republic in Iran regime, when I talk to Iranians across the political spectrum, ranging from left to right, there's one thing that they're universally agreed upon, and that is that the United States should not attack that country, and that the political blowback from attacking that country would be worldwide, certainly, but it would also be regionally catastrophic in that a lot of people in Iran and Iranian expatriates currently outside that country who want a different regime than the one that they presently have with Mahmoud Ahmadinejad and, of course, with the Islamic mullahs. And this gets into the whole question of things like the Guardians Council and the Assembly of Experts and some of the other organizations that we don't understand from an American political standpoint that govern the Iranian political structure and system since 1979. But suffice it to say that for all of those in that country, I'm thinking of a country of 70 million people where over 50% of the population, we are told, is under 30. These are people who do not remember Mohammad Mossadegh. They don't remember Shah Mohammad Reza Pahlavi. They don't have personal reminiscences of the activities of the British and the Americans in that country or the Russians. And these are folks, from what we are reading in the international press and from what I hear from Iranian dissidents around the world who write me, these are folks who want a different government in Tehran than what they have presently. I think there is substance to the belief that not all is well for the mullah's regime, not all is well for Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, not all is well for Hashemi Ali Akbar Rafsanjani. But suffice it to say that it would seem to be self-evident that an American attack on Iran in conjunction with Israel and Britain, either overtly or covertly, would produce, in my view, a complete backlash of support for that present regime in Iran on the part of the Iranian people, both in that country as well as in the Iranian expatriate community. That's, to me, an obvious factor in this whole thing that is going to have to be watched in the days ahead, not to mention the tremendous number of civilian casualties that would be involved in this tragedy, and not to mention the fact that if we think we've got problems in Iraq now, we are spending, a total of $9 billion a month in both Iraq and Afghanistan. How much money would a war with Iran cost? How many lives would be lost on both sides? How counterproductive would be the ramifications of such a war, including the fact that a lot of people presently unhappy with the regime in Tehran in the Iranian community might rush to its support and its defense in a backlash against Western interventionism in their country? What is this going to mean to the oil markets? If there is a single ship sunk in the Strait of Hormuz at the entrance to the Persian Gulf, my tech Chris and I were talking about this during one of the breaks, you can see right now in the Wall Street Journal and in Forbes that in past articles that if the Strait of Hormuz were to be blocked, oil would suddenly surge per barrel to somewhere between $100 and $272 a barrel. Guess what you're going to be paying for gasoline at the pump if that happens? Estimates range right around $10. What's that going to do to the American economy? You think of all the trucking and shipping costs that would be involved in this. You start talking about gas rationing and what this is going to do to food prices and our markets and so forth and so on. The point is there are a lot of risks to what these neoconservatives want to do in Iran, and that's aside from the moral principle. In the American constitutional principles of the founding fathers, what happened to Washington's farewell address when it comes to avoiding entanglements in foreign affairs, when it results in a policy of ongoing militarism abroad and interventionism abroad in situations that should not and do not concern us? It would appear to me that when you start talking about Washington and Madison and Jefferson and compare that with where these neoconservatives want to take the United States and supporting anything that Israel wants to do in the Middle East and in supporting interventionism around the globe, chiefly for the apparently the reason of trying to secure cheap access to raw materials that are possessed by other countries, this is quite clearly something that is unsustainable. It's unsustainable morally. It's unsustainable politically. It's unsustainable militarily. And guess what, folks? I think it's about to happen. If you get a chance today, take a look at John Bassel Utley's piece at antiwar.com entitled The 12 Consequences of Attacking Iran. You know, I had John Bassel Utley on Mark Dankos America and the Republic Broadcasting Network quite a number of days ago now. He's got a new piece entitled The 12 Consequences of Attacking Iran. If you're not familiar with John Bassel Utley, he has a long history of connections to the American intelligence community. He is also a conservative. He opposes this neoconservative madness in foreign policy. He has a website entitled Americans Against a World Empire. He is a man not of the left, but of the right. That's important to emphasize that. In his post today at antiwar.com is well worth your time, the so-called 12 Consequences of Attacking Iran. I'd like to read a little bit of John's piece because he's a personal friend, he's been on this show, and because he's certainly one of the sources that all of our listeners at the Republic Broadcasting Network should be aware of. John Bassel Utley's piece begins by saying that the murdered Israeli leader, General Yitzhak Rabin, opposed the first Gulf War in 1990, warning that one never knows when starting a war where it will lead. As Bush and the neocons are reportedly planning to attack Iran, we should all think of the likely consequences. Most Americans already believe that George Bush is not much influenced by facts, but rather by his ideology. Already he is reportedly thinking of his legacy and dreaming that history will prove him right, quote-unquote. More disturbing are his religious beliefs, and in particular his daily readings of Scottish preacher Oswald Chambers, who argues that if plans and events go wrong, it just means that God is testing believers' faith, not the strategies, and not that those strategies should be changed. This may also explain Bush's aversion to diplomacy. After all, God does not, quote-unquote, negotiate with evil. Various reports state that Iran is years away from the ability to produce a single nuke. In a few years' time, the government in Iran could easily change or modify its positions. Indeed, already President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is losing power. But time is running out for Bush, although not for America. An article about Iran in Pat Buchanan's The American Conservative by former CIA officer Philip Giraldi says that Bush may attack before Tony Blair retires in April. Blair has already just sent two British minesweepers to the Gulf. U.S. war plans are reportedly counting on a few weeks of war, as they did with Iraq, to disable Iran's nuclear and military industries. The concept that the United States could simply destroy much of Iran, then proclaim the war over, neglects all of the lessons of Iraq, namely that a wounded Muslim nation only gives up when it wants to. Repeatedly, the U.S. loses when we expect enemies to play by American rules. Following are consequences we must anticipate following such an American attack. This is John Bassel Utley again. 12 Consequences of Attacking Iran. Number one, Iran would blockade the Straits of Hormuz. Iran has new, quote, state-of-the-art, unquote, Russian anti-aircraft defenses, as well as powerful Sunburn anti-ship missiles purchased from the Ukraine, Chinese mines, and also itself manufactures other missiles. Anti-ship mines may already be in place, able to be activated from shore. U.S. strategy calls for destroying all the anti-ship missile emplacements and small missile and mine-laying boats long deployed along Iran's coastline. Obviously, a surprise U.S. attack may miss some Iranian weaponry, or U.S. Navy anti-missile systems may not work to defend all ships in the Gulf. Probably Iran would try to sink tankers, see a projected scenario, to set off a worldwide panic for oil rather than just aim at U.S. Navy ships. Even the threat of this would cause insurance rates to skyrocket and possibly shut down the straits. Just the risk of all of this happening should be of great cause for concern for America and the whole world. Number two, war gets quickly out of hand. U.S. plans to destroy Iran's anti-aircraft and military infrastructure could easily escalate to destroying Iran's oil loading and shipment facilities. This would take even more millions of barrels off the market for a prolonged period. If Bush and Cheney hadn't shown themselves to be so incompetent, one might imagine it was a plan of their Texas oil friends to raise oil prices to the stratosphere. Jim Cramer warned on MSNBC's Scarborough Country on January 30th that war would quickly drive U.S. gas prices to $5 per gallon. The far greater risk is that Iran would then retaliate against the hopelessly exposed Kuwaiti, Saudi, and Gulf states' oil facilities. Iran has already warned Qatar, where the U.S. has CENTCOM, that its vast gas compression facilities would be targeted if it allows a U.S. attack. Washington announced that it was sending Patriot missiles to defend our allies, quote-unquote, but there is no assurance that these would all work. After all, only one Iranian missile, or ground attack from sympathetic Shias, would need to get through. Also, the Bush administration has made secret the publication of test results for the U.S. anti-missile program. This could easily cover up corruption and incompetence. We already now are finding out that some of our largest defense contractors have designed ships for the Coast Guard that aren't even seaworthy. This again is John Basil Utley speaking at antiwar.com, the so-called 12 consequences of attacking Iran. John goes on to discuss in point three that the whole world's prosperity would be at risk if oil didn't flow again quickly. Any such severe shock to the world economy would cause foreigners to cut back on financing U.S. deficits, with a consequent sharp rise in U.S. interest rates. This would cause very severe repercussions to the whole U.S. economy and government spending. Any real constriction of the Chinese economy would cause a collapse in worldwide commodity prices, with consequent effects on third world buying power. Number four, American citizens and businesses in many nations would be under threat of attack by militant Iranians and other Muslims. War would multiply our terrorist enemies tremendously. Administration officials keep arguing that by fighting in the Middle East, we are avoiding terrorist attacks in America. This is the usual American body count way of fighting wars. The reasoning assumes that the number of terrorists is somehow finite. But if we keep creating more enemies, we then increase the risk of reprisals inside the United States. Number five, the attack would make America even more suspect and hated in the whole Islamic world. Zbigniew Brzezinski, a former U.S. National Security Advisor, told Congress the war in Iraq was a calamity and was likely to lead to, quote, a head-on conflict with Iran and with much of the world of Islam at large, unquote. Number six, war would greatly increase Russian power vis-a-vis Europe, as the latter would become even more dependent upon Russian energy supplies. Already a majority of Europeans think that Washington is the greatest threat to world peace. War would severely strain the American alliance. Number seven, we don't know the effectiveness of the Russian and Chinese weapons that have been sold to Iran. There is a risk that they might be very effective. Number eight, we might even lose an aircraft carrier. Bush's plan may be to provoke Iran to attack first by putting ships in harm's way in the narrow Gulf. He may be thinking that after such an attack, he would have all Americans behind him and is retaliating against Iran. It is hard to know what is in his mind and in Dick Cheney's mind, but we do know that they are ignorant and full of wishful thinking. Number nine, American forces in Iraq would be very vulnerable to modern war supplies from Iran. For example, effective anti-tank weaponry such as that used by Hezbollah to destroy dozens of Israeli tanks. The long U.S. supply convoys from Kuwait would be subject to much greater attacks. A sustained Iranian missile attack on the Green Zone in Baghdad or the Doha base camp in Kuwait could kill many Americans. Number 10, war would curtail the great influence of the religious right in Washington. Christian fundamentalists are the backbone of support for continuing wars and chaos in the Middle East. Their power would finally backfire as more Americans become wary of leaders who claim a direct line to God. The fundamentalists' passion for war, callousness toward the death of foreigners, fear and almost total ignorance of the outside world, and unstinting support for police state measures out of Washington have already discredited them among many Americans. Their fomenting another war would be a fatal blow. Number 11, the disasters for America could also weaken and challenge the power of the Israeli lobby, especially IPAC, the American-Israeli Political Action Committee. At least that is the concern of writers at the major Jewish newspaper, The Forward. The writers note concern for the perceptions that Israeli interests fomented the attack on Iraq. The anti-war and anti-empire movement is also heavily Jewish, but without, quote, the New York money people, unquote, pushing America into war with Iran, as warned by General Wesley Clark. Number 12, finally, another war might be the final nail in the Republican coffin for a generation. The party would fracture. Republicans may be the daddy party, which once was thought to provide masculinity to foreign policy. But as James Pinkerton says, if dad keeps wrecking the car, then there may be reason to change. This was John Basil Udley's post today at antiwar.com entitled The 12 Consequences of Attacking Iran. John's been a guest at Mark Dankoff's America. You can find his Americans Against World Empire site through my links page. And we'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio on RBN. Stay tuned.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Mm-hmm.
we're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been talking about all kinds of news items today. One of those news items is found at Broadcast Interview Source of Washington, D.C., talking about Mark Dankos, America, and talking about the Republic Broadcasting Network, noting the fact that we have a new website at www.republicbroadcasting.org, and also speaking about the fact that we have picked up a new affiliate. That's WMQM AM Radio, 1600 AM in Memphis, Tennessee, which is a 50,000-watt station. We greet those folks. We thank them for inviting us to be a part of their lives and vice versa. And in the days ahead, I hope to be doing some very significant things with guest recruitment on this show, bringing on all kinds of people that can talk about all sorts of things. I've been spending an awful lot of time on Iran, awful lot of time on the Middle East in recent weeks on this show, because I think that the biggest news story is that we are moving headlong into a third world war unless there is a change of course on the part of the U.S., and a change of course in regard to what the Zionist planners have in store for this conflict. But suffice it to say that on Friday on this show, we'll be getting into some of the particulars of that with Shireen Nashat of Sarbazan, who's a Persian human rights activist based in Los Angeles, California. Her father, General Ali Nashat, was the commander of the Shah's Imperial Guard. He was the last commander of the Shah's Imperial Guard, the equivalent of our Secret Service, and General Nashat was executed in Iran on April 11th, 1979. We may talk about that a little bit with Ms. Nashat on Friday, but she's going to be on for about an hour and a half just talking about the future direction of American-Iranian relations and what seems to be happening in regard to all this talk about preemptive war with Iran. And then Chalmers Johnson is going to be on the show for the last 30 minutes of that broadcast. If you don't know who he is, this guy is an absolute bigwig in American foreign policy. He has taught for 30 years at the University of California, both its Berkeley and San Diego campuses, been the head of those political science departments, and also very heavily involved in Asian studies at both of those institutions. And from 1968 to 1972, he was a consultant to the Office of National Intelligence Estimates for the Central Intelligence Agency. And he's got a new book out, by the way, that is going to be absolutely imperative that we discuss this on the air. It's entitled Nemesis, and it specifically makes reference to the fact that the American empire is in the process of coming to an end. This is something that I happen to agree with. I will have an opportunity to ask Chalmers Johnson why he happens to believe that. I have my own ideas, of course, as to why I believe that, and many of my listeners weigh in from time to time with why they believe that. But Chalmers Johnson, keeping in mind his background as a consultant to the CIA and his involvement with the University of California system, is going to be discussing that very concept on Friday morning on this show in the last 30 minutes of our broadcast. And the title of that book is Nemesis, The Last Days of the American Republic. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back. Stay tuned.